the heart of the harvest is calling for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
And now here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. A very pleasant greeting once again to all the listeners of radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, coming to you with another gospel message. My name is Willie Murphy. We hope that each of you are well in both soul and body, and that God has been supplying all your needs according to his riches in glory. We're indeed thankful for the privilege of having a part in the great work of God. We would like for our new listeners to know that we print this weekly message, and we're glad to send it to you each week free of charge if you will write us and let us know of your interest in receiving it. We appreciate the response and cooperation of the Lord's people in helping us to spread the gospel both by radio and by printed copies. Here's a verse of Scripture which I believe we would do well to set up as a standard for our lives. It is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the apostle has given some good instructions regarding the gifts of the Lord's church. He mentioned how that there were apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, and so forth. Now, all of these things help us to make up the one body of Christ, which is his church in the world today. Then, the apostle mentions a more excellent way. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he speaks of charity, or we might say divine love, which make all of these gifts in his church operate smoothly. I'm reminded of an automobile which has many delicate and accurately fitted parts in it. Each part is necessary and has a particular purpose to perform. But one thing is a must in this highly complicated and well-engineered car. It must have a good supply of oil if the parts are to operate freely and smoothly. The oil serves as a lubricant and prevents friction to a great extent. Without its use, a well-engineered car would soon amount to a very little more than a pile of rubbish by the roadside. The engine would be in smoke, and the driver might be seen leaving his car, endeavoring to hitchhike to the next station for help. Even so, for God's people to be successful and operate smoothly as a working unit, they must use the more excellent way, which is the divine love of God in their hearts one for another. Without it, all the other gifts of the Spirit will not be effectual in accomplishing the service which God has designed for His people. Listen as I read to you a few of the characteristics of divine love. I will begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. It says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Friends, doesn't this sound to you like it would be an excellent way? Now, I don't mean that because you love someone, you would never reprove them or correct them. This is not true love anyway. Parents who fail to instruct and correct their children in the proper way to go often find to their own sorrow and disappointment the child goes astray and brings many sorrows to their hearts. God loves His people. But because of His love for them, He is faithful to warn and chastise every son whom He receiveth. However, just as God has a purpose and motive for His chastisement, even so, we should have a reason and a constructive purpose when we point out to another his faults. Listen to this little poem entitled, "Criticism." To criticize is easy. As you pass along life's road, it is easy to condemn and sneer when another bears the load. But if you know an easier way, then lend a helping hand. Do not let a worker sweat while you criticize and stand. To criticize is easy as you pass along life's road, but a better and a nobler way is to help to bear the load. In other words, to better explain it, we might put it this way. There is such a thing as constructive criticism. By constructive criticism, I mean as we point out in another a fault or an error, we should be able to show them how they could improve their lives to become a more useful vessel for the Lord. It is our duty to show them a more excellent way. First, I believe that we can do this by example. Let us be the one to first show by our own lives the way that our brother should live. That within itself is an inspiration to another as they see the pattern so plainly laid before them. If we are unable to show them a better way, then I'm of the opinion that we're not in a good position to offer criticism. Therefore, such criticism might be termed as destructive criticism. This type of criticism often proves very harmful and detrimental to one's welfare and spiritual life. Consider the scripture reading from Colossians chapter 3 and beginning with verse 12. It says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bounds of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Then, by all means, we should remember this verse from 1 Corinthians 16:14. It says, "Let all things be done with charity." I would like for you to consider the thoughts expressed in the bent twig. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. If a child lives with jealousy, he learns to hate. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to love. If a child lives with recognition, he learns to have a goal. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with honesty, he learns what truth is. Friends, in malice and criticism, let us be children. But in understanding, let us be strong men of God as the body of Christ, ready to shoulder the responsibility and carry the gospel unto the ends of the world. Surely, this is the need today of our land. We need more men and women who are willing to face the realities of life, accepting the challenge which God has given, that we should carry the gospel unto every nation in the world. Let us be faithful as we see before us the task which is to be done. Shall we spend a moment in prayer? Our Father, we are indeed glad that a more excellent way has been provided for each of thy people to live. Help us to be so filled with the divine love of God that we will rise above carnal strife and harsh criticism, which drive men away from the greatest treasure, the gift of salvation, which has been made possible for all to enjoy. Bless each one who hears the broadcast tonight and supply every need, both temporal and spiritual, for those who are seeking the more excellent way. For we ask it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Here now is a song, "He is Walking by My Side," as sung by the Carver Quartet.
One is walking with me over life's uneven way, constantly supporting me each moment of the day. How can I be lonely when such fellowship is mine with my blessed Lord divine? How can I be lonely when I Jesus only to be my companion and unfailing guide? Why should I be weary or my passing dreary when He's walking by my side? Days may bring their burdens and their trials as I go, but my Lord is near and helps to make them lighter grow. Life may have its crosses or its losses or increase. Jesus meets them all with peace.
Yes, isn't that encouraging, friends?
How can I be lonely when I Jesus only to be my companion and unfailing guide? Why should I be weary or my path seem dreary when He's walking by my side?
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like a printed copy free of charge, you may have one by simply sending us your request. And now until next Friday night at 10:45, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours and a very pleasant good night.
How can I be lonely when I Jesus only to be my companion and unfailing guide? Why should I be weary or my passing dreary when he's walking by?